And you're welcome back to Tip Today. Hi, Fran. Great listening to Mick. Such a straight-talking man and very knowledgeable. Yes, I agree with him totally where abolishing the Shannon is concerned. It's just another job shoved in by the government for their cronies. And I'd love that hotel break, says this person as well. Well, you're into our draw. Thank you for that. Fran from Colebrook to Copper. The grass is so high, it's dangerous. You can't see cars or people walking. Thank you. And we're getting quite a few texts and calls in about various different places where the grass has been allowed to grow very high and all of that. Anyway, 1800-938-007. The text and WhatsApp is 083-311-3311. We have that lovely prize for you. We're giving it away on Friday. We're looking for a finalist today. It's a breakaway to lovely Cork City, to the Maldron Hotel. It's on the South Mall there, if you know the city. And it's a two-night break in a deluxe room with bed and breakfast for two people, and it's a full Irish, I'm told, as well. Now, yesterday on the programme, we were talking about the landline telephones that have been installed in 804 prison cells at a cost of more than €1 million this year, and work is underway to extend the convenience to every inmate in the state. Now, for more on this, I'm glad to be joined by a gentleman who's a regular contributor to our show. We know him best, I suppose, as founder of Seesaw in Clonmel and a security consultant, but he is also chairman of the Visiting Committee of Midlands Prison. And, of course, I'm talking about Joe Leahy. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
And thanks very much indeed for coming in to us today. We spoke to this story yesterday on the programme, and we were inundated with people saying, you know, I mean, this is disgraceful, it's awful, it shouldn't be the case. What about punishment? What about hard labour instead of that? What do you make of this, Joe? I mean, because you're very experienced with this, so.
Yeah, I didn't hear your programme yesterday morning, but I did hear another programme involving Let's Talk to Joe.
Yes.
So, yeah, a lot of people are complaining and they were giving out, but I don't look at it that way at all, and I really don't. I think, you know, the prison, people think like the prison, you know, people say like there's like a 5-star hotel or a 4-star hotel. There's a major difference. In the 5-star hotel, you can get up in the morning and walk out. You can't walk out of a prison. If you're inside in prison, you're in prison, and your time, which is a very valuable commodity for every one of us, is taken from you, and you're incarcerated there, and you cannot leave there for X amount of time. Yes, the time in a lot of cases fits the crime. In some cases it doesn't, but in a lot of cases it does. And you're there. Life is not easy inside in a prison. You don't have your friends, your relations. You don't have your pastimes. You can't, as I say, your freedom is taken away from you. And a lot of the things that they do inside within the four walls of the prison, you know, they try to rehabilitate people in the sense of, you know, they try to do courses with them. They try to educate some of them. Some of them get jobs in the kitchen, the laundry, in all these different places. And they try as best they can. The system before the COVID came in was that there was a telephone, there was a landline on the landing, and you had to queue up. And you had to make your call then from the landing. And they're pre-dialed phone. Like you're given a set of, I think it's four numbers that you can dial. And that's all you can dial is those four numbers. You can only stay on for 6 minutes. So believe you me, you wouldn't want to bring an aircom or any of them. I'll tell you, you're in fair trouble if you did. But all you can do is that length of time for those people. And here, you know, you can picture...
And like, there's no privacy, Joe, is
and
there?
And there's no... On the landing, there's no privacy.
There's a queue behind you.
There's a queue behind you. Like, so you're there trying to talk to your other half in some respect, whatever way it is, and you're trying to say your few words. And it could be a very personal thing. It could be about the child in school. It could be a person's birthday. It could be, and I'm sorry for doing all the problem, or whatever the hell it could be. And here's somebody else listening and giggling behind you and all that.
Jeering, or maybe
fighting behind you and whatever else, like, right? And I know there's people listening will say, oh, look, tough, look on that, you know, grow up and be there. People are in there. They did a crime, and that's the punishment they got, and they're in there. That's not to say, though, that they can't have some bit of respect and try and create, maintain, I should say, the communication with their own family and friends on the outside. Especially, Fran, when they come out, because at the end of the day, the vast majority of them come out. And when they come out, then they need to have somewhere to go to and somewhere to stay. And if they don't, you know, if you look at it, you just take, for example, like, right, and you can look at this in several ways, and I can imagine the screen will light up in a while. But if you see, say, for example, like a sex offender, I've spoken inside there to some of these, one person, like, and the individual said, like, that he couldn't go back to a certain block of the country. Just say he couldn't go back to Munster. Now, so where does that individual go? So that individual probably end up homeless in some other city somewhere because he can't go back to any of the area where he came from. And people would say, rightly so. But how then do the authorities track that registered sex offender?
Well, you can't because they're under the radar.
Exactly. So the system operates better if there was communication and if they could maintain a track on these individuals. There's also support for them then when they come out. Because one of the things that we've been cribbing about a long time or complaining a long time about is that when you come out of the prisons, you have this sort of a see-through plastic bag. You know, so when you get off the bus at your final destination, when you're released, everyone knows where you're coming from.
A see-through
just
bag,
an ornery bag. Now, it has been replaced in an awful lot of cases with denim bags, and, you know, because we had a bit of a, you know, we had communication about it and got it sorted. Like, we're pushed an open door. But some people then, heretofore, you're coming out of this see-through plastic bag and you're bits and pieces. So when you got off the bus, you know, you were advertising where you're after coming from, you know what I mean? And you didn't fit in well with the community, refit back in with the community again. Those things, you have to try and overcome all those. And I think it's vital if you can have the privacy of a phone, you'll have a better communication with the people, you'll build up a better rapport with your relations, you'll continue that communication with your relations, and I think there's better understanding and better support for you then when you come out.
And still you'll have the classic argument, like, for instance, if somebody attacked my mother in her own house and robbed her and beat her and whatever, people might be justified in saying they deserve every possible punishment, every possible deprivation that can be imposed on them.
And isn't it very hard to argue with that? And I will even go further. Lord have mercy on my mother. If somebody attacked my mother, my God, you know, nothing, no punishment would be good enough for her. And that's, I'll call a spade a spade.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it comes to attacking the person, I think when it comes to attacking the person, I think no punishment is good enough for that person. And it's strange, like, the way the system works. You see, recently, like, you know, people are saying that prison, like, is a, you know, it's only a holiday camp here. And yet and all, you see, there was it last week, the week before, where there was a family in the country tried to prohibit a prisoner from being sent to England to finish their term. You know, so you see, these aren't important, like, they're not holiday camps.
Yes.
They're not. Yes, could they be different if the legislation was changed? Yes, of course. Do you want to go back to the chain gangs and go back? We certainly don't. Plus, you also have these other watchdogs coming in then, the likes of the, you know, the human rights groups and all these kind of things, and they go into the prisons and they see you had all this incel sanitation and all that thing going on there then for a while, and that's almost started out now in 99% of the places. And you're looking at, so there's a positive, and you're trying to, I suppose, recultivate a bit of humanity in some of the people that are inside there through education, but through physical deeds as well.
Would you explain to listeners as well, because you explained this to me in the past, I mean, something like televisions in the cell or whether it's computer games or whatever, there's very good thinking behind all of this, because you have a potential time bomb in a prison. And if you can do anything to batten that down in some way, it has to be a good thing.
It has to be, and you're so right. And you see, I suppose if you look at the Irish Prison Service, like their function, I suppose, you know, under an umbrella is to manage the prison population. And that's what they have. That's precisely what they have to do. So, like, there's a lot of time, a lot of man hours, and, you know, that's just the man hours. I don't want someone jumping down me, Nick, on man hours, but used up in going to courts and on remands and all this type of carry on. So now they've improved a lot of that, like we say, with video linking and all that sort of stuff. That helps. But also the thing is that the televisions inside, you're trying to keep the people there happy, relaxed, if you can at all. Happy might be the wrong word, but content that they're in. They accept their lot. I'm here for 2 years. I make the best of it. And you're trying to manage that temperament and that tension.
Because the alternative is rioting.
The alternative is rioting. And also, the prison authorities then, they also, as you know, onto the department, they have a duty of care for every prisoner in their custody. So, like, if the two of us are inside, and somebody out there will probably say we should be, but if the two of us are inside and I attack you, they have as much a duty to care to me as they have to you. So, like, this is all fine, the old pub talk, all throw away the key and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't really work when you unwrap it and you delve into what goes on, you know?
In your experience, does it work at all, incarceration?
I think it does, yeah. I certainly think, I think there's some people, Fran, they should never again be left out. They should never see the light of day. There's some very, very bad people in the system, some very evil individuals in there. And I think that they shouldn't ever see the light of day again because they're so dangerous. And that's a fact. But for an awful lot of people, I don't think it works. I would go very heavy on, I think what we're doing wrong is I think we're giving people too many chances before they're getting the severe rap on the knuckles at the very beginning. And I think it makes them professional before, you know, that they get 25 warnings before they ever see a court. And then they get another 25 chances inside. And when you look at the system we have, you know, everybody is out there like, they're doing their damnedest to stay out of jail because they want their freedom. They're appealing their sentences, they're fighting on this loophole and that loophole. You've seen people like, you know, and I know that people jump down my throat to this, you know, they're going to addiction centres, they're doing this, anything at all to see can they stay out of where they should go to. And I think we're given, it's at the beginning where the problems are starting. There's young people out there, they're not going to school, there's 101 things going wrong, they're being kept out of school at an early age and all that, and they're going into a life of crime. 'Tis there we need to nip it on the bud, and they need to be taken away at a very early age and sorted out at an early age, not in a prison environment. No, I don't think prison is working. I don't think the few people that you get that rehabilitate from being a year or 2 years in prison are few and far between.
You can imagine what's coming into us.
I can indeed. Yeah. They're all saying, well done, Joe.
They're all saying, well done, Joe. Fantastic, Joe, to hear you. One or two, just a pity about them. I saw my brother's murderer having great crack a number of years out on a programme, and my brother forgotten about, and he deserved more than that. And that's just one of what's coming. Somebody saying, is Joe for real talking about time, life, relations, family? They are not in there because they are good Samaritans standing in a queue when phoning tough. Their rights went out the window when they committed the crime, says Joe.
Well, you see, I've said it already, you know, there are some people that are there and they should never see the light of day. And if you look at it in the overall, I'm talking here about people that are in there for 12 months or 2 years and they have committed the crime, and that has to be acknowledged, because sometimes a lot of them, they will acknowledge it themselves that they are in there. But it's to manage them while they are in there. That's what the prison authorities have got to do. That's their job, is to manage that, to keep a lid on it, to stop the rioting, to stop the people getting murdered inside, to stop all that carry on. Or what do we do? What's the alternative here, Fran? The alternative is throw them all on, we've heard it time and time again, throw them onto a place like Spike Island and throw away the key.
Yeah.
What would happen then? Would we get another Spike Island? We'd throw them onto Ackle then next. Where do we go then? You can't operate a system like that.
Why is it we can't discuss this generally in the fashion that we're doing so without people getting hysterical about it? Like, why?
Because I think people get very emotive. I think when it attacks a person or somebody that you know, I think people get very emotive about it, and it's very difficult to blame them. It's very difficult, you know, if somebody gets off on a charge because, you know, the summons was served a day late or a day or some little technicality, and it's spotted and they get off on that just because the little bit of paperwork, the wrong box was ticked. That's very, very frustrating, and it's very hard to understand and twice as hard to accept.
And have you seen this thing that we hear about, this culture of prison, like where generations of a family would be in prison time and time again in prison?
Yeah, I have. We had one guy in with his like, and he wanted a transfer to another prison because his two sons were in the other prison. Like, and you're saying to yourself, you know, the person out there having the cup of tea can say, I'll let the hell of him, you know, throw away the key. But that's not going to be the answer. That's not the answer to it either. And how do you change that? It's very, very difficult to change that, because believe you me, that man that we spoke to that day in prison that wanted to go to see his two sons, there's no doubt he has nephews or nieces. Sure, they're going to follow the same pattern more than likely, you know? And it's very difficult to stop that. And you would see families like, you know, I don't want to mention naming the names, but sure, the whole world knows who these families are. And you see listed them, and they go on and on and on and on. And they're in jail. Like we'd know of people, like I know of one family, and there's four of the same family in four different prisons.
My God.
You know, and yes, should they be there? Of course they should be there. Mm. No doubt in the world about it. But what happens when they when their term is up? If they get 5 years, if they get 10 years, when that term is up? And I think there's another discussion that needs to be had, Fran, and it's a genuine one that but people don't want to talk about it, I think, in general. Is when if somebody, you know, commits a murder and then and get say they plead guilty to manslaughter and that's accepted, and the next thing they're back out living very near the person.
Yes, and that person who was onto us, that's an
that's,
example of
that's
that.
That's horrendous. Yeah. Like how, like I don't know how in the name of God that that can be. I think the judge in sentencing need to make a decision and say, look, that when this person is released, that's if they can, with human rights and everything else, if they can make it make a call and say, look, that person should not be within a 10-mile radius of this family or something like that.
Will you put your other hat on you for a moment for this part of the conversation, which is, of course, being a mental health activist. How big an issue is that in the prisons, mental health?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. It's a huge issue, Fran. It's huge, Fran, in the sense because there's a lot of people are in there like they've never been in there. You know, some people have never, it's their first time in. They haven't been there before. They're living in the confines of a cell. You also have, you know, the two-person cell, like whereas, you know, one person is, you have to pair them off as such age-wise because you don't want me, like, inside listening to, you know, one type of music and you listen to another type of music.
Sure.
And you and people have been saying, tough looking at them. But that's the reality. If you're living there with somebody in a cell the size of this studio, smaller maybe than this studio here, you know, you have to try and pair them off. And people get, they get lonely, they get depressed, and they get very, the world moves on the outside. You know, their other half could be gone off with somebody else. You know, all this stuff going on. They can't get control it. They can't do anything about it. They can't even contact them. And all that goes on. And it's very, very hard mentally on people, and they can't cope with it, and they don't know how to deal with it at all.
Just now, a final one, if you would, Joe. Alistair saying, I'm a bit confused, Fran, installing landlines in prisons, but you can't have a mobile phone. That's because the landline you were telling me is limited, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. How it works, Fran, is you have to give in your four numbers. I think it's four numbers, yeah?
Yes.
That you've got to give in. And they have got to be, just say, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, for example, or your three brothers or your sister, whatever the story is. They have to be there, or a friend, or whatever else. And they're the only numbers that you can dial. You can't dial anything else, only those numbers. And the calls are recorded and they're checked, the same as they would be checked.
Yes.
So you're not going to, I'm not saying to you, Frank, bring me in there a couple of lines of cocaine when you're coming up next Saturday to me. You can't do that. It's all being right. Listened to. And the calls only last 6 minutes.
Right, so you can't be on the phone all day.
You can't be on the phone all day. And it's not, look, to me it's a very positive thing, and I think it should be encouraged. Because as well as that, it helps people's mental health as well, that they're not stuck inside there. We've a prisoner inside, like, and they had no one come to see him for 2 years, like. So that would drive you insane, like, you know. And people say, tough looking them. But they're still human beings, and they still have to try, and when they come out that gate, where do they go and what do they do? Because the next time, you're going to have somebody else coming on saying, oh, what about the homeless? Some of these people will end up being the homeless. They'll add to the queue. So you have to try and sort out the mess as it is, the way it is. And I think it's a good thing to have it.
Joe, always good to see you. Thanks very much indeed for coming
in
today. Thank you, Joe Leahy there of Seesaw, of course, and also chairman of the visiting committee of Midlands Prison. We'll take a break, back in a moment.
The Imro Radio Award winning Tip Today.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Test drive the all new Peugeot 2008 compact SUV at Slattery's Garage, puck on. Choose from petrol, diesel or fully electric. Slattery'sGarage.ie.